Chapter 4 Being Careful. I watched the men walking around each group. They made people stand, turn around, and show them their hands. An officer and a man stopped in front of our group. Everybody looked down, except for me. I stared at the officer. He looked clean, rested, and fed. Elena, said Mrs. Arvidas to Mother, you must tell the officers that Andrews is simple, that his mind is like a child's. Please, if you don't, they'll take him from me. The officer walked toward Andrews and shouted something at him. He's simple, said Mrs. Arvidas. Elena, tell them. Mother spoke one word in Russian, and the officer grabbed Andrews by the hair and lifted his face. Andrews stared back, and Mrs. Arvidas cried. The man waved his hands angrily and walked away toward the other groups. By the end of the day, our group and another group were the only ones left. The NKVD inspected the train cars and screamed that we were disgusting pigs. Then the train's engine started. They're going back for more people, said Andrews. They won't stop until we're all gone.
But why? And why were we sent away?
Asked Jonas. Because we were on the list, I said.
But why were we on the list?
Continued Jonas.
Because father works at the university, I replied.
Look, said Jonas. That cloud looks like a cannon.
Make the cannon kill the Soviets, I said. They should all die.
Andrews turned his head to me.
What? I asked.
You should be careful what you say, he said.
Evening came, and most of the NKVD had left with the train. There were just 5 officers with guns, and nearly 75 Lithuanians, but nobody tried to escape. I think most of us were too tired and hungry. The NKVD made a fire and cooked their dinner, while we sat and stared. They had American cans of food, bread, and coffee. After dinner, they drank beer and smoked, and the noise of their voices rose.
Hey,
Andrews whispered to me. I looked up and saw something rolling across the grass. It was the beautiful stone that he had found.
A beautiful stone for a train car princess, I said while putting the stone on my head like a crown. I rolled the stone back to him.
Now, you keep it, he said.
The morning came, and still nobody had bought us. The officers forced us into the back of 2 trucks and drove us through the forest. No one spoke. We were too frightened. After 2 hours, we stopped in front of 2 large huts on the side of the road.
Davай!
The officer screamed along with something else in Russian that I did not understand. They are taking us to wash, Mother said, translating. The men went first and were taken to another hut.
10 of us at a time, she said. We must take off our clothes.
We were in the first group. A young blonde officer was smoking a cigarette with his back to us. Another NKVD officer stared at us, smiling and biting the inside of his mouth. I took off my clothes and covered myself with my hands. An officer with a gold tooth walked toward us, stopping to look at each woman. He stood in front of me and grabbed my arms, throwing them to the sides. Then he looked me up and down and smiled. After we had washed, we were put back into the truck and driven to a large farming area with lots of little huts. The officers ordered us off the truck and pointed toward the huts. I thought that they were going to be our own huts,
until a woman ran out of one and began arguing with the officers.
"There are people living in the huts," whispered Jonas.
"Yes, we'll have to share," said Mother, pulling us close. The blonde officer opened the door to one of the huts, shouted something in Russian, and pushed us inside. A small woman ran to the door and began screaming after the officer, while Mother moved us into the corner of the room. The woman then turned around and began shouting at us. She was very angry.
"What's she saying?" asked Jonas.
"She says that she has no room for criminals," said Mother.
"We're not criminals," I said.
The woman continued screaming. "She says that she doesn't have enough for herself, and that she won't share it with criminals or prostitutes," said Mother. Suddenly, the woman grabbed my hair and forced me toward the door. Mother shouted in Russian, hit the woman, and pushed her away from me. Jonas also kicked her in the leg. The woman stared at us with black eyes, and Mother stared back, which made the woman laugh and then ask Mother a question.
"We're Lithuanian," replied Mother.
Jonas and I stayed quiet. "She says that angry people make good workers," Mother said to us, "and that we have to pay her rent."
"Pay her? For what?" I said.
"To live in this hole in the middle of nowhere?"
"We're in Altai," Mother said. "They are growing potatoes here."
"So there are potatoes to eat?" asked Jonas.
"Food is rationed by the officers," said Mother, still translating. I remembered Father talking about Stalin taking land and animals from people. He told them what vegetables to grow and how much they would be paid. I thought that it was stupid. How could Stalin just take things that a farmer and his wife had worked their whole lives for? The hut was very small, with no table or bathroom. There was a small stove with some dirty pots and tins.
"Where does she sleep?" I asked.
"I don't know," said Mother, "but everything will be okay."
"Well, it's nice to be off that train," said Jonas.
The young blonde NKVD officer pushed open the door.
"Elena Vilkas," he said.
"Yes, that's me," said Mother. They began speaking in Russian and then arguing.
"What is it, Mother?"
asked Jonas. "One of the officers wants to see me," said Mother.
"It's fine. You stay here. I'll be right back."
She disappeared through the door and returned a few minutes later.
"What did they want?" I asked.
"They want me to work for them," said Mother. "They want me to translate documents and speak with the other Lithuanians who are here."
"What will you get for it?" Jonas asked.
"I'm not going to translate for them," said Mother.
I said no.
"They also asked me to listen to people's conversations and report them. They promised extra food."
"But we need extra food," Jonas said sadly.
"I can't trust them," said Mother, touching his face while looking at me. "The guards think that we are below them. We must be careful with anything we say, write, and draw. Lina, do you understand?"
"Open it," said Mother.
"I'm too nervous," I replied.
"Open it,"
shouted Jonas. I opened the envelope and pulled out the letter.
"Dear Miss Vilkas, thank you for sending examples of your artwork. It is excellent, and we would like you to join our summer program."
"They said yes!" I screamed.
"I knew it," said Father. "Great things will happen to you, Lina,"